Welcome to the Buckhead Church Podcast. If you want to learn how you can be more engaged with our church, check us out online at buckheadchurch.org, or you can connect with us on Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter. I hope the following message inspires you to take the next step forward in your faith journey. Check it out.
Well, we got a special treat today because I'm joined with April Farmer, a new coworker of mine, and also she is no stranger to Buckhead Church. April, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great. April, most people know you at Buckhead Church because you have been you've led worship for a long time,
right?
And so I'm eager to dive into a little bit of your background, and then just a teaser for what's coming up. One of the things that I thought would be really great for April to help us with is her team that she leads at Buckhead Church, which is pretty new as of, has it been a month yet?
This is week three. So
week three, hello. Her team is constantly thinking about, she runs what's called the Care Network, and they're constantly thinking about how to care better for people, how to care well for people who've hit a bump in the road, and all of us in life have hit a bump in the road at this point. So one of the things that I've asked her to talk about is how do we fight boredom, which all of us are facing right now. So we'll talk about that in just a little bit. But let's talk about, I want to introduce a little bit of your background to people. We'll talk a little bit more about the Care Network and what you guys do in care, but tell us about you. You're not just a worship leader.
No, although that's what most people think.
I bet.
I've been lead worship, of course, a long time, well over 20 years, and been singing my whole life. But I actually have a passion for people beyond just singing. I actually love impacting people's lives and impacting health and encouraging and helping to cultivate healthy relationships. So their love relationships with God, their love relationships with themselves, and their love relationships with others. So that's really, I have a strong passion about that. So I got my undergrad in way back when.
How far back, like, April? No, we don't have to go there.
We don't have to talk about that, right. In psychology, and then I got my master's degree in social work. So I got my training in clinical counseling. And so I've been able to utilize that for the past few years. And I love it. It's what I'm greatly passionate about. And one of the things I love the most about it is because it allows me to marry who I am and what I'm passionate about along with my life experience. So just being able to marry the two, use my life, use the things that I've gone through, the challenges that I've had, to be able to encourage people, whether it's on a spiritual level or whether it's on a clinical level. So I enjoy that a great deal.
And you were practicing as a social worker. That was your job. Is that correct?
Yes.
Tell us a little
more
about that.
So I was doing community-based therapy. So basically for people who may have been attached to the Department of Family and Children Services for whatever reason, if they were a partner with the state, I was offering counseling for the children, for the families, for couples, for all of those things. And so a lot of our clients couldn't necessarily get to our office, which was in Woodstock. So we provided a service where we would actually go into the community, whether we had to meet at a library or at Starbucks or at their homes, and offer those services week to week. So I've been doing that for the past few years.
Well, your makeup, your background, just the mix of gifts that you have really is remarkably perfect for this role that you're in. There is a phenomenal person named Suzanne Fatigatti that was in this role at Buckhead Church for 15 years, I believe.
Yeah, that's what I heard. Wow, she's awesome.
She is tremendous. And a few months ago, Suzanne just kind of felt like, hey, I get the sense that God is moving me on to my next season. And when she took a step back from the role that she was in, it was just, it was a hard thing for me and for our staff. And you have just been an absolute answer to prayer and a godsend. And I just am so excited that you're in the role that you're in. You've got four people on your team. You guys are responsible for critical response. You're responsible for a number of mentoring systems that we have, financial, marriage, any premarital mentoring. What am I leaving out? What else is there?
You have Renew. That is a part of it too. Of course, you mentioned MoneyWise, and then we also do the counseling side. So all of our counseling referrals goes through our department.
Love it. So, one of the things I wanted to do on this podcast was just introduce you to Buckhead Church, introduce Buckhead Church to you. But I know it's a little odd because people are like, oh, I know April. I've sung many songs with April, but you might not have known this side of April. I got to be honest, right. I didn't know this side of April. And so when we started looking around for candidates, it was just a perfect match. And after a long and grueling interview process, you started your job right in the middle of the quarantine, which is,
I know, that has got to be bizarre. It really is. Like, it's something definitely that I will remember for the rest of my life.
Yes. I've heard from numerous people that it has not taken long for you to get up to speed. And I know this is going to be a journey for all, like any job is, but I'm really excited about you being able to leverage even more influence and help more people at Buckhead Church. What, just in light of the quarantine, anything interesting that you're learning about yourself, or anything that's been a new challenge for you, or anything that's even surprised you during this new season of life?
Well, one of the things that I definitely think my greatest challenge has been allowing myself to relax, allowing myself the permission to not do anything. Because as a person who's been serving in ministry my entire life and singing every Sunday since I can remember, I can't remember the last time I didn't have to get up on a Sunday and go somewhere. And for a lot of us who are constantly serving the people that are on our teams, we're always just eager and anxious, which is an awesome thing. But I think when something like this happens, as unexpected as it is, we also have to learn to see the beauty in it and recognize, wow, God's given me some downtime. And so kind of pulling myself back from the complaining about things not being the way I may have wanted them to be, or that I'm used to it being, and really just embracing this opportunity to really chill and allowing myself that. So if it's a day, if it's a couple of days, it's really okay. You know, whatever you think you have to get to is not going anywhere. And I mean, I think that's probably been my greatest challenge, is just allowing myself the opportunity to just relax and embrace this quiet time. And I know that might be difficult for a lot of people.
Well, I love, I'm right there with you. That's really hard for me as well. In fact, that's a great segue into talking about boredom, because you know, boredom really is, in some ways, it's on the flip side of that. It feels like, you know, there's the ability to, those of you that are constantly in activity, which we live in a very busy world. And I've heard that from so many different people, that really trying to see the gift of slowing down. But on the other side of that, and I'm so glad that we're talking about this topic, because yesterday I was in a Zoom meeting with a team, and the facilitator of the meeting said, all right, here's what I want everybody to do. I want you to come up with your two primary emotions. I want you to write it in the chat. And then we're just going to go around the circle and everybody's just going to share why you chose those two emotions. And boredom was one of the emotions that I chose because the lack of activity, the lack of progress, just the sheer, it's like life hit the mute button on so many different things at one time. It has created this sense of boredom. What are you telling clients, patients? What are you telling people that are coming to you saying, yeah, I just feel bored?
Yeah, that is definitely a challenge for a lot of people. And one of the things that I like to share is that it's a great opportunity to rediscover yourself, to rediscover who you are, what you like, and what you enjoy. For example, and don't judge me for this, I love, like really, really love the Andy Griffith Show. I love it. And I will sit for
April,
hours.
I did not see that coming. But just so you know, so do I.
Yay! Cool people love Andy Griffith. I'm telling you, it's the best. And the thing about it that I love is just it's easy, it's mm-hmm. funny, always funny, consistently funny, and it brings me joy. Mm-hmm. So just rediscovering those things that you like that are going to, I guess, pull you away from that thought of being bored or that mm-hmm. idea of being bored. Another thing people might try are projects that they've put off, things that they enjoy that they've put off. You know, nothing that's going to allow, apply too much pressure. But for example, I like to quilt, and I have a quilt that I've probably been working on for about 2 years. And wow. So now I've kind of pulled it back out of the closet. And I've just start working on it, not mm-hmm. committing myself to finishing it by a certain time, but no, just pull it out, work on it for a couple of hours a day, or while I'm watching the Andy Griffith Show, do my quilting, and then put it aside. But, you know, allowing yourself the freedom to kind of differentiate between just bored and restless. Because one of the things is sometimes when we're bored, we can pick up a lot of negative habits. For example, I learned that I like to eat when I'm bored.
And
this Corona 20 is trying to creep up on me hard. And I'm just like, no, I have to fight this. Because when I'm sitting around, I don't have anything to do. Oh, what's in the refrigerator? Mm-hmm. And you don't realize you just got up and ate like 45 mm-hmm. minutes ago. You just mm-hmm. got a snack, 20 minutes ago. And so really just, recognizing that you can definitely acquire some old bad habits, but also it's a great opportunity to pick up new ones, things that you thought about that you would love to start doing, do those things. If you keep complaining about not having the time to go for a walk, go take it. If you wanted to learn a new skill or a new craft, watch a YouTube video and teach yourself how to do it. There's just so many things we can do to alleviate boredom. And then for those of you who have children that are at home, including them in that. I've heard some great ideas amongst our staff members. One of my coworkers said that, he and his wife decided to get together and have some kind of adventurous thing every day. So one day is going to be t-shirt day, or one day is going to be pajama day, just different creative things to make life fun, just to kind of fight that bored feeling.
I've heard with kids, my wife is the one who's taught me this, but that it takes 15 minutes of boredom for kids for creativity to kick in. But it's almost like we have to go through that trough or that valley of boredom to get to the other side, to get to the quilt, which is a great,
exactly.
It's such a healthier use of the boredom than just slipping back into the kitchen for another handful of Cheez-Its. Which is what I find myself in. Hey, I want to talk for a second though about that restlessness that you mentioned. That there is a difference mm-hmm. between restless and being restless and being bored. What if somebody's trying mm-hmm. to be self-introspective and trying to identify that feeling that I have, and I'm asking for a friend? No, I'm just playing. I'm actually asking for myself. What would you say? What are some ways that people can help distinguish between those two emotions?
Well, one of the things about restlessness typically comes from people who always need to be busy. And then, so the next step from that is, okay, why do I need to be busy? What does it mean if I'm not busy? Does it mean I'm lazy? It's like identifying those thoughts or those mm-hmm. lies that are telling us that we're something that perhaps we're not. Perhaps our body just needs some rest, but a lot of us fight feelings of thinking, and it could come from anywhere. If you were sitting down watching TV, and maybe when you were a kid, your parent always told you were lazy and you were nothing. Mm-hmm. And so you always had to be doing something. So when there's nothing to do, you feel antsy and you feel restless. Mm-hmm. Like, wait a minute, there's something that's got to be done. There's something that's got to be done. And it's like, no, why am I stopping and asking, why am I
that's
feeling
great.
This way? What emotion am I really having? What thoughts are really going through my, if I don't do something right now, what does that mean? And let yourself answer that question. And if you can't come up with a healthy answer, then allow yourself to relax, take a couple of deep breaths, and then embrace that quiet time. Even if you have to, practice giving yourself, okay, well, I'm just going to sit here for 20 minutes. It reminds me actually of meditating. And which is a practice a lot of people forsake. People don't really think about meditating. If I'm restless, I need to calm down. Mm. I honestly, if I feel like I'm in this restless state, like, okay, April, just go relax, take a couple of deep breaths, close your eyes. For me, meditation requires, I actually like music with no words. I'll just go and I'll pull up some music that have absolutely no words, because words pull you away. Mm. Music heals very well, but words kind of draw you into different things. But if I'm just listening to music and I get in a quiet place and I just breathe and allow my body, like everything, to relax. I let my shoulders go down. A lot of times if you stop, you'll realize you're a little tense. And you just kind of let your shoulders go down, take some breaths, start feeling things in your hands and things of that nature. And it really helps that restlessness go away, you know? And so there's a distinct difference between that feeling and just being bored. I can be relaxed and in a good place and be bored, but restlessness, that antsiness, makes me want to ask, okay, why am I feeling this way?
April, everything about what you just said, I just thought, gosh, that is so peaceful and I want to practice that. The other thing I thought about was there are probably so many people right now, and I've seen the data on this, that there's a lot of people who are falling back into old addictions. And that idea of meditating, it's really preparing your mind for prayer. It's really getting to the place where you can connect with God on that deep personal level. And it's such a better, I hate to call it coping, but it is a better way to deal with your stress and to deal with the pressure that you're feeling than reaching for your phone or even reaching for another glass of wine. And I think that's that practice just seems like a better replacement for that. Is that something you would encourage people toward that find themselves reaching for some less healthy things?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And one of the things that I love about it is because when we quiet ourselves in meditation, we really can start to hear the Holy Spirit speak to us. Mm. And when we're honest enough to ask the question, why am I going for that drink? Why am I going for that piece of chicken or whatever it is? And I believe God is faithful. He'll tell you. Mm. He'll start bringing things up for you. And I think it's a practice that has kind of been lost and forgotten. But I really feel like if more people took the time to just, you know, kind of woosah, you know, and just meditate and figuring out how to do that. There's a lot of YouTube videos and you have to kind of be careful. But there's a lot of different tools that you can find to kind of guide you in meditation. Sometimes it's just listening to a psalm. It's listening to a scripture. Like for me, I love to just listen to jazz music, or I might listen to, you know, they have those apps where you can kind of create a sound that has water and then it might have raindrops and it might have the birds outside, whatever helps you to relax and just quiet yourself. But I think it's a great practice for people to get into. Especially when they're starting to feel antsy, to just go into a quiet place, tell your kids you need 5 minutes or put a sign on the door, say meditation time. And I think it's a practice. I think it's a spiritual discipline, actually, that we should all develop and practice on a daily basis, which leads into others. A lot of times I often find when I finish meditating, I end in prayer. So I get to knock out two birds with one stone, if that makes sense. Well, it kind of helps cultivate other disciplines.
I love that because, you know, this is something Jesus modeled for us, that he pulled away from the crowds numerous times in the Gospels and got to a place where he could quiet himself, quiet the noise, and talk to his Father who is in heaven. He even instructs us in the Sermon on the Mount, hey, when you pray, don't get on the street corner and bang your chest. No, instead, go close the door, get quiet, and your Father who sees what you're doing in secret will reward you. And I think part of that reward is that peace that he brings us. Part of the reward is being able to find a better, healthier outlet to alleviate our stress and our worry. Last question, April, and maybe this would be a good place to wrap up. What would it look like for people to see their boredom? This is a bit of a reframe, but what would it look like for people to see their boredom as a gift in this season?
I believe to to see it as a gift is to ask yourself to actually make it a practice or make a commitment that every time you feel like you're bored, to stop and say, God, I thank you for this day. Mm. I thank you for the time that you've given me. Help me enjoy this time. Mm. You know, it's actually a posture that is so foreign to most of us. We have to actually ask God to help us appreciate it. Mm. So when we find ourselves just bored and not knowing what to do, just a quick prayer. God, I feel like I'm bored, but this is time I'll never get back. Help me maximize and appreciate this time, you know, and just allow God to kind of help you do that. I think it's just a matter of kind of stopping and saying, okay, God, help me appreciate this time that you've given me. As crazy as everything is and as chaotic as it may seem around me, every moment, every second, every minute is a gift from God. What do you want me to do with this time? Help me appreciate it, because tomorrow's not promised, you know? And I don't want to take for granted this time, whether it's busy time or whether it's bored time. It's God time. What do I do with it? And how do I enjoy it?
I love that. That is such a great way to think about boredom. And I hope that those of you that are listening, watching today, that that would be a gift to you. You know, this, what we've said about this podcast, April, is it's a resource to inspire people to follow Jesus at home and at work. And I know God has certainly used this time in my own life. So thank you. Thanks for your voice. Thanks for your influence. Thanks for your investment in our church. Thanks for the investment you are going to make in our church. We're really, really grateful. So glad that you're on the team.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Thanks for listening to the Buckhead Church Podcast. If you'd like more content, you can always check out our services live or on demand at buckheadchurch.org. And if you want to experience community anytime, anywhere, go to buckheadchurch.org/groups.